It was back in the 19th century. That's a long time ago. 19th century, there was a Danish poet or author that some of you will remember his name from literature class. Go all the way back to your high school days of literature class. And there was this Danish poet or author back in the 19th century by the name of Hans Christian Andersen. Remember that name? You're like, oh yes, I don't know anything about him, but I remember the name. Well, Hans Christian Andersen was one of those poets who put out a series of short stories, put out a series of poems, and on November 11th of 1843, he put out a series of short stories, a series of poems, and perhaps one of his most well-known was put out on that day, November 11th, 1843, and it was called The Ugly Duckling. Remember that story? Story about that mother duck who had these eggs there, and all of these eggs began to hatch, and all of her babies began to come forth from these eggs. But then there was this last egg. And when the creature came out of this last egg, it did not look like everybody else. This creature didn't look like the rest of her children. It was different, and she didn't love this creature, this ugly duckling. And the rest of his brothers and sisters began to make fun of him, began to tease him, began to hate on him. And so you know what that ugly duckling did. He ran away from home. He said, look, I'm not going to put up with this. So this ugly duckling decided, I'm not loved here. You know, my family hates me. I'm going to run away from home. And so he hightails it out of there, and he finds another group of wild ducks and geese, and he thinks he's going to join this wild ducks and geese, but these hunters come along and begin shooting and killing these wild ducks and geese, so the little ugly duckling takes off again. He's like, nobody wants me. No, I can't be around anybody. So he finally finds this older lady and thinks, oh, this will be great. I'm going to go and live with this older lady in her house, and everything will be so much better. And yet she had a cat and a hen that hated on this ugly duckling and were making fun of this. Can you imagine a cat making fun? But anyway, this cat and this hen were making fun of this ugly duckling, and he said, I'm not going to stick around here. And so he leaves that home. He's like, nobody wants me. Everybody hates me. And so he goes out in the field. He thinks, I'm just going to live out here. Winter comes. And he goes and he lives in a cave during the winter time, and he's there by himself, and then as winter is ending, he sees a flock of swans. Do you call swans a flock? A group of swans, a bunch of swans, a flock of swans out there. And he says, you know what? I'm tired. I'm tired of being hated by everybody. I'm just going to go throw myself in front of this flock of swans and let them trample me, and I'll just be done with all of this. And you know the story. This ugly duckling goes out there to this flock of swans thinking they're going to trample him and he's going to be all over with, and they loved him. They welcomed him in, and he says, why do you want me? I'm an ugly duckling. And they said, look down in your reflection in the water. And he looked down in the reflection in the water, and through all of that time and that long winter, this little ugly duckling had grown into a beautiful swan. Everybody thought he was ugly. And then he became a beautiful swan. Everybody hated him until he finally found those with whom he belonged. I want you to think about that story. Boy, there's a lot of applications today we could make from that, isn't there? A lot of ways that Hans Christian Andersen, writing that in 1843, how long ago is that? 140 years ago? That here, 1843, that's bad math. Don't follow my math. 180 years ago. That all of those years ago, and yet how applicable is that still today? And as I've thought about that story, and we're not here to preach about Hans Christian Andersen today, but as I've thought about that story, and I've thought about what Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, Jesus told his disciples, the world is going to hate you. If you were one of his disciples and you just heard the world's going to hate you, would you say, great, I volunteer, put me on the list, I want to be a disciple of Jesus? No, the world's going to hate you. That ugly duckling lived a life, according to Hans Christian Andersen, in this fictitious story, where the world hated him. But when Jesus said that, that was 2,000 years ago, right? That was different back then. Back then, the world did hate the disciples of Jesus, but things have changed today, right? The world doesn't hate followers of Jesus anymore, do they? As I thought about the title of this lesson, I thought, David, that's really depressing. You really need to come up with a jazzier title. You need to come up with a better title than "The World is Going to Hate You." And then I kept going back to John chapter 15. I'm like, that's what Jesus said. The world is going to hate you. And I want us to look in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 today. We're not looking at all parts of that, but I want you to get your Bibles out and just turn to that section in your Bible of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Because here are the last words of Jesus before he's going to be crucified the next morning. What's on the mind of Jesus before he heads out to Golgotha, before he heads to Gethsemane, before the trials, before Golgotha, before his crucifixion? What's on the mind of Jesus? His concern is for his disciples. And his concern is for these individuals. And he says, look, I want you to know what you're getting yourself into. You're going out into a world, and this world is not going to love you and think you're the best thing ever. This world is going to hate you. Brother and sister in Christ, I have news for you today in case you haven't figured it out. The world is going to hate you. Young people, I have some news for you today in case you haven't figured it out. If you're a follower of Jesus, the world is going to hate you. Somebody says, I don't want that. No, thank you. I don't want anything to do with that. Let me share some things with you this morning. And this lesson is not meant at all to be depressing. It's not meant at all to be discouraging. It's just the opposite. Because Jesus was not trying to discourage and to depress his disciples. It's just the opposite. In the midst of this context of these chapters, Jesus is trying to build them up and encourage them. And that's what I want to do today. Realizing, yeah, that's what the world thinks. I want us to be even more determined when we leave here today not to allow that to affect us. I want you to think today. What are the reasons? What are the reasons? Get your Bible and let's just look at it. We're just going to let Jesus tell us these things today. What are the reasons that the world hates us? Look in John chapter 15. Look at the passage that was read in John chapter 15. The reason the world hates us is because we are associated with Jesus. That's why. Go figure, right? Look at what Jesus says in John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. Look at verse 21. All these things they will do to you for my name's sake. What? My name's sake. Why are people going to hate us? It's because we love Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Look at the word up here. What are the reasons for this? They are nonsensical. They're going to hate us because we love Jesus. Does that make sense? They're going to hate us because we want to do what Jesus says. Does that make sense? The world is going to hate us because we want to do things with Jesus and we want to do things for Jesus. And somebody says, you know what? That's my business. Why does somebody else need to get into my business? I don't know the answer to that question. But Jesus said the world is going to hate you. Jesus, why is the world going to hate us? Because you are associated with Jesus. And that may not make sense, but look around our world. Are there things happening today that don't make sense? Are there things being said today, things believed today, things being advocated today that don't make sense? Don't let the world affect you. Don't let the world's hatred of you affect you just because you want to have something to do with Jesus. There's no better life. Young people, listen to me. There's no better life on this earth than living your life for Jesus. And if the world's going to hate you because you're associated with Jesus, that's their problem, not your problem. They're going to hate you because you're associated with Jesus. But you want to get it to where it doesn't even make any more sense. Look, keep going. Look at what Jesus says down in verse 19. They're going to hate you because you are not like them. Look in verse 19. If you were of the world, if you were like them, if you were among them, well, they would love you. I mean, we hate you. Well, why do you hate us? Because you're with Jesus. Well, what would I have to do to make you stop hating me? Well, just come over here and be like us. Oh, I see. If I come over there and I'm like you, I conform to you, I go along with what you want, then you're going to like me. Does that make sense to you? Listen to me, young people. They're not even going to like you then. Remember the ugly duckling? Here goes the ugly duckling. Here, here, here. Nobody liked him no matter where he went. He tried to fit in and he wasn't liked. It doesn't matter how hard you try to fit in. They are still going to hate you. This world doesn't make sense. They say about a hen, and I don't know if this is true. Some of you chicken people can let me know. But they say about a hen that you can take a hen from some other place, and you can put it in with another group of hens, and if this group of hens all has the same markings, all right, all of these hens have the same markings, but you take this foreign hen and you, different markings on this hen, and you drop it in amongst these hens that all have the same markings, you know what they say about those hens? They're going to peck that other hen to death. Why? You don't look like us. We don't like you. Why? It doesn't make sense. If you try to make sense of this, you're not going to figure it out. If you try to blend in with the world, well, I'll just kind of go along with them and they'll ease up on me. They're not going to ease up on you. It doesn't make sense. Jesus tells us that it wouldn't make sense. Look at verse 25. But this happened, Jesus said, that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. What was the reason that they hated Jesus? What does Jesus say here? They hated me without a cause. What was the reason they hated Jesus? No reason. You can't make sense of it. There was no cause. There was nothing. Now, obviously, they were making some things up, but their hatred was so hot against Jesus, it was nonsensical. If the world hates you, guess what? You are in good company. The world hates you because you're hanging out with Jesus, you're in good company. If the world hates you because you're not like them, you are in good company. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's one translation of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You don't fit there. You fit here. This is the mold we ought to try to fit in. This is the mold we ought to long to be in. And so when you try to figure out, why does the world hate me? What are the reasons? They don't make sense. Just let that be. They don't make sense. But for the rest of this lesson, I want to make some sense. I want to take these chapters and I want to build us up and say, I don't care if the world hates me. Well, how can you say I don't care? Here's some things I need to remember. Look at the first word in verse 20. Jesus uses this word, first word, remember. Here's some things I want you, here's some things that Jesus tells us in these chapters to remember. And they all have to do with Jesus. And if we will remember these things, guess what? We won't care if the world hates us. We won't care if our neighbors hate us. We won't care if the kids at school hate us. We won't care if our coworkers hate us. We will not care because here are some things we need to remember about Jesus. Chapter 15, verse 9, what does Jesus say? Here's the reason that we need to remember Jesus. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. It is not a children's song that says, Jesus loves me, this I know. I know it's the children that sing it more than the adults, but guess what? Maybe the adults should sing it more often. To be reminded, I don't care that the world hates me. Why not? Because Jesus loves me. This I know. How do I know Jesus loves me? For the Bible tells me so. Not just the Bible, Jesus tells me so. And I know Jesus is talking to his 12 apostles in John 14, 15, 16. I know he's talking to his apostles, but he's talking to you in these, in some of these verses where he says he wants you to know that he loves you. And if Jesus loves you, why do you care what the world thinks? We're going to talk more about that in a minute. I need to remember that Jesus loves me. Number two, look in chapter 17. I not only need to remember that Jesus loves me, I need to remember that Jesus prays for me. Do you pray for other people? Do you have a prayer list? You have a prayer list where you pray for other people? In John chapter 17 and verse 9, Jesus says, this whole chapter, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. The whole chapter is a prayer. And so in talking to his Father in John 17 verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. Who? He's talking about his disciples, his apostles. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Look in verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Don't take them out of the world, Lord, but that you should keep them from the evil one. If Jesus prayed that for his 12 apostles, don't you think he prays that for you? He doesn't just pray for his apostles in this chapter. Look in verse 20. Jesus says, verse 20, I don't pray just for these alone, the apostles, but I pray for all of those who will believe in me through their word. Who's that? You and me. For everybody else throughout time who would believe the Bible and what they wrote in the Bible, Jesus says, I pray for them too. Don't you worry about the world. Jesus loves you. Jesus prays for you. Jesus wants to save you from the evil influence of the devil in the world. Number three, Jesus wants you. Now, we could say a whole lot about Jesus wants you, but go to the end of chapter 17. Where does Jesus want you? Look in verse chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I desire, insert the word want. I want, desire, that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus not only just wants you now, Jesus wants you forever. Jesus wants you in heaven. That's what he's praying in verse 24. He wants you in heaven. Don't worry about what the world says. You've got a Savior who loves you. Focus on that. Remember that. Remember, you've got a Savior who's praying for you, longing for you, wanting what's best for you. And he wants you now, and he wants you for eternity in heaven. If you back up into chapter 16 and verse 30, the apostles, one of the few times they interjected into what Jesus says in these chapters, one of the few times they interject is in chapter 16 and verse 30, and they said, we know for sure that you know all things. We need to know that for sure. We need to remember that Jesus knows what we're going through. Jesus knows what the world is doing to us. Jesus knows that the world hates us. He loves us. He's praying for us. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven. We need to remember Jesus and what he says in those verses we saw in chapter 15, verses 18 and 20. Jesus was hated first. Jesus was hated more. I don't need to give up on Jesus. I don't need to turn my back on Jesus. I don't need to say, I don't want to live this Christian life. It's not worth all that I am suffering. Jesus already went through it for us. But notice how Jesus responds to the world. As much as the world hated Jesus, did he hate them in return? When the world hates us, should we just hate them in return, right? They're hating me. I'm going to hate on them. Look in chapter 17. Verse 23, here's something we need to remember about Jesus. Jesus says that I and them, the disciples, his followers, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that I have sent, that you have sent me, and that the world may know that I have loved them. Who's the them? The world. I've not only loved the disciples, I want the world to know that I have loved them as you have loved me. Even though the world hated Jesus, Jesus still loved the world. We're going to follow in His steps. That needs to be us. Last thing I want us to remember about Jesus. Look at the last verse of chapter 16. Jesus overcame the world. Chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." In the world, what are you going to have? You're going to have hate. You're going to have hate. What else are you going to have in chapter 16, verse 33 in the world? You're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have all sorts of problems. But be of good cheer. What do you mean, Jesus, be of good cheer? You just told me in the world I'm going to have hate and tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Our Savior, our Lord, says to us, don't worry about them. Don't worry about what they think about you. Don't worry about what they say about you. Don't worry about what they do towards you. They can hate on you all day long, but you remember Jesus. Are you listening to me this morning? This isn't just some sermon of some guy standing up and quoting some verses. This is Jesus talking to us today. And Jesus is saying to us, old and young, don't worry about what the world thinks. If you could have walked on the scene with that little ugly duckling, would you have told him, don't worry about what that cat thinks? I mean, cats are dumb anyway. They're weird anyway. Who cares what that cat thinks? Don't worry about what the world thinks. Last thing I want us to see today. Are there reasons for the world hating us? Yeah, they don't make any sense. When the world hates me, what do I need to do? I need to remember Jesus. But when the world hates me, here's my response. My response to hate needs to be to choose love. That's hard. That's really hard. But my response to hate needs to be to make a conscious decision, a choice that chooses love. What does that look like? And again, we're going to pull all of this from these verses, and I'm going to go through these quickly, but I want you to think about each one of these. If the world hates me, I need to decide, I need to make a choice. What's my choice? Choice number one, I need to love Jesus more than I love the world. That's hard. But I need to make up my mind. I'm going to love Jesus. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and do what? Love the other. What is he saying? You can't please both. You can't love the world and Jesus at the same time. 1 John 2 and verse 15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Friends, we've got to make a choice. What's your choice? I plead with you today, choose to love Jesus. Don't worry about the world. Just love Him. Choose that you want the love of Jesus more than you want the love of the world. We live in a world, and our kids grow up, and they always have, I guess, grow up wanting to be accepted. That ugly duckling wanted to be accepted. That's like every kid. Want to be accepted. Want to be loved. Want everybody to like us. We want that. And so when people don't like us, what do we tend to do? Sometimes we tend to say, what can I do to change so that people will like me? We need to make a choice. And our choice needs to be, I want the love of Jesus more than I want the love of the world. There were some individuals in John chapter 12 who were more concerned about receiving the praise of men more than they were receiving the praise of God. We need to make up our minds. Which one do I want? Do I want God's love? Do I want Jesus' love? Do I want Jesus' approval? Or do I want the world's approval? One of my favorite parts here in these verses is in John chapter 15. Look at what Jesus says, and here's another choice that we need to make. We need to choose the friendship of Jesus rather than the friendship of the world. Look at what Jesus says in John 15, verse 14. You are my friends, if you do what I say. He's got the word friends in verse 13. Greater love is no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I tell you. And then in verse 15, he says, I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friends. Does that thought just boggle your mind? Jesus wants to be your friend. Not just your Lord, not just your master. He wants to be your friend. Are you friends with Jesus? When the world hates you, make a choice. Choose, I want to be friends with Jesus more than I want to be friends with those who hate me. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Make a choice. Which one do I want more? Which one of these do I value more? I need to make a choice. And that choice needs to be to love the desires of Jesus more than I love the desires of the world. I need to love what Jesus wants from me more than what the world wants from me. And the verses that are up here have to do with the times that Jesus talked about His commands. You are my friends if you do whatever I say. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We should be more concerned about the commandments of Jesus. We should be more concerned about doing what Jesus wants us to do than we are about doing what the world wants us to do. Have you ever heard this before? I heard this growing up. Maybe you've heard it. It's always right to do right. You heard that before? It's always wrong to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. And that's right. You know why that's right? Because the Bible is right. And I should be more concerned about doing right. I should be more concerned about the desires of Jesus and what He wants from me than the desires of the world. Because guess what? The desires of the world, they're going to change. You won't be able to keep up with them. You won't be able to keep up with the desires of the world because once you start feeling, oh, I'll go ahead and go along with that, it won't be enough. They'll change and you'll have to do something else in order to fulfill their desires. Guess what? This doesn't change. This doesn't change. Once you figure out what the Lord wants from you, He's not going to twist it. He's not going to change it on you. It's going to stay the same all throughout. We need to make a choice. And our choice needs to be to love the truth of Jesus more than we love the truth of the world. And I've got the second word truth up there in quotation marks. Because truth today in the world is anything you want it to be. Everybody gets to make up their own truth. In fact, the word truth is just offensive to people today because it sounds like there's only one truth. Well, hello, that's what the Bible says. But today, everybody gets to make up their own truth. How about we love the truth of Jesus? What did Jesus say in chapter 14, verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the truth that we need to be concerned about. Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. That's all we need to be concerned about. When the world begins to hate us, love the truth. Say, no. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what you think about me. I love Jesus' truth. Jesus' truth will set me free, John 8, verse 32. That's all I'm concerned about, is Jesus setting me free by His truth. That needs to be what I want. I need to love the relationship. This is similar to the friendship of Jesus, but I need to love the relationship that I have with Jesus more than the world. Look in chapter 14, verse 23. I love this relationship. Look in chapter 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, that's us, he will keep my word. And when we love His desires and when we love His truth, when we keep His word, He says, my Father will love him and we will come to him and we will make our home with Him. Do you have that relationship with Jesus where He has come and made His home with you? If you love Him and you love His desire, you love His truth, and you keep His word, He says, we'll come in, we'll make our home with you. Have you ever given somebody a Valentine's card that talked about how much you loved them, how much you needed them, and a Valentine's card says, I just can't live without you? Look in chapter 15, verse 5. What does Jesus say at the end of chapter 15, verse 5? Without me, you can do nothing. Sounds like a Valentine's card, right? Without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is in love with us, and He says, I want a relationship with you. And so much so that you won't have any other relationship like the one we have together. Without me, you can do nothing. Which one do we want? In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus talked about relationships, but he says, if anyone does not, and he uses the word hate over there, if anyone does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, wife, child, what are you talking about? If anybody doesn't love me more than he loves anybody else on this earth, Jesus says he can't be my disciple. We need to love the relationship we have with Jesus more than anyone else. We need to love the joy that we get from Jesus more than anyone else. Look back in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy... Think about Jesus saying this. I've spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you. Do you have Jesus' joy in you? Jesus said, if you take my words and obey them, you can have my joy in you. And that your joy may be full. There's all sorts of things the world thinks ought to bring you joy. If you notice that so many things the world thinks ought to bring you joy don't actually bring you joy. Jesus talked about the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. Wow, cares, riches, pleasures. Those are things that bring great joy. And Jesus says they choke the Word of God out of our lives. What brings you the most joy? Is it your relationship with Christ? Is it your friendship with Jesus? Is that what brings you the most joy? Is it being together with brothers and sisters in Christ? Is that what brings you the most joy? We need to make a choice. When the world hates us, we need to make a choice. We need to choose the life that Jesus wants us, the lifestyle Jesus wants us to live more than any other life. Look in chapter 17, verse 17. We'll just look at this one verse where Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Make them holy. Our lives are supposed to be different. Our lives are supposed to be set apart and different and holy from the rest of the world. And when our lives are like that, the world is going to hate us. So we need to make a choice. Will we love the life that Jesus wants us to live, that He has shown us how to live, or are we going to try to please the world, which we'll never be able to do? We need to make a choice. And the choice we need to make is a choice of love. We need to choose the mission that He's given to us. Don't fulfill what the world wants you to do. Fulfill what Jesus wants us to do. We need to choose in our lives that we're going to love the people of God. When you look around this room, are these not your favorite people on earth? To be with the people of God. God says in Galatians 6, verse 10, to do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Especially those of the household of faith. It's right here in these words, the chapters we're looking at, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, chapter 13, verse 34, that you love one another. Same thing in chapter 15, verse 12, that you love one another. Are these the people that we long for? These are the people that we love the most? That we want to be with the most? Jesus says, that's how we respond to the hate of the world. We run to our family. We run to those who love us and whom we love. We need to make a choice. And that choice needs to be that we're going to choose the unity that we have with each other more than we're trying to be united with the world. In chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, I prayed for them that they might be one in us. We need to strive for that unity. Forget being united with the world. It'll never work. They're going to hate you, but be united with your brethren. Final thing, choose to love the reward that Jesus has for us. Maybe your favorite verses, and all of these verses of Jesus are in chapter 14, where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, what does he say? That where I am, there you may be also. He says that at the beginning of these comments. At the beginning of his comments to his disciples, he says, I want you to be with me in heaven. Go back to the verse we looked at just a minute ago at the end. Look in chapter 17 and verse 24, where you read almost the same words. where he prays for us in chapter 17, verse 24. And his prayer to the Father then is that they may be where I am. Jesus wants you to go to heaven. The world, they can give you things. The world, they can build you up and say things that you like to hear. The world, they can give you rewards that will make you feel good. But what reward do you love the most? Do you love the reward that Jesus has for you? Not just some reward that He's going to give you in some place where He isn't, but the reward that you will have when you get to be with Him. That's the reward. The reward is not just heaven. The reward is not streets of gold. The reward is not getting away from this world. The reward is being with Jesus. And that reward will be worth every bit of hate that the world throws at us. Is the world going to hate us? It's going to happen. Can we make them happy? Never will. Can we get to the point where they will fully accept me? Not going to happen. But I've got a Savior who loves me, who prays for me, and He wants me. And He's providing for me a home in heaven. There's nothing better than that. May God help us to set our sights on that and not worry about what other people think of us. Are you right with Him? Are you in a relationship with Him? Are you in a true friendship with Jesus? Are you where you need to be with Him today? If you're not, would you resolve today that you're going to follow Jesus? You're going to make up your mind to do exactly what the New Testament tells us to do to be right with Him. The New Testament tells us we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? You believe that He came and died for you, that He rose from the dead? If you believe that, you ought to take that next step where the Bible tells us we need to repent. We need to make up our minds that we want to stop doing what's wrong. We want to start doing what's right and turn our lives over to Jesus, realizing that that's the only way that we can truly have a satisfying and happy and rewarding life. Have you taken that step? My guess is you believe in Jesus. Have you taken that next step that says, I want to give my life to Him? The decision that the Bible calls repentance. If you've taken that step, why don't you do what the Bible tells us to do and to confess the faith that's in your heart? Jesus says that we need to make that confession before men. And when we confess it before men, He'll confess it before the Father in heaven. Have you taken that step? Have you taken the step where Jesus says we need to be baptized into Him? That we need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved, Mark 16 and verse 16. That only through baptism can we get into Jesus. Only in baptism can we get into a friendship with Jesus, into a relationship with Jesus. Have you ever done it? Have you ever been baptized? There's warm water here today. There's garments and towels here today. If you've never done it, you can do it today. Have you ever taken your affections and nailed them to the cross? Is your heart right with God? That's what we're going to sing in just a minute. And if you're not where you need to be today, why don't you get baptized into Christ today? To be raised to walk a new, faithful life, Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, but sometime read Revelation 2 and verse 10, what we quote is only the last sentence. Be faithful unto death and you will receive a crown of life. Do you know there's another part of the verse, the beginning of the verse, where Jesus tells us, don't worry about what other people do to you. Don't worry about persecution that people bring into you. Don't worry about them. He just says, be faithful and you'll go to heaven. Don't worry about the world. Focus your life on Jesus. And if you're not right with Him, why don't you get right with Him right now as together we stand and sing.